Krishna Padaya, Krishna Vasaya, Mudale, Srimati Bhakti Padana, Swami Namani, Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gaura Bhani Vachani, Nirvashesha Shunyavadi, Pashyati Dejakarani. So we are reading today. Oh, we got some doorway people. Safe people. So you may notice that I'm giving class with a mask on, and that's just an example for all of you, even though I don't have the virus, that when you have people speak or kirtan, things come out of the mouth. Things. And those things sometimes are viruses or bacteria, things like that. So really good to have the nose, mouth covered. Okay. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, fifth chapter, text 40. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Datar. Does anyone have a book? Some people have a book. Yad. Asmin.
Is it on the board? No.
Or the screen. Baba. Isha. Jivas. Tapa. Trayena Vihata. Na. Sharma Atman Labante Bhagavams Kavangri Chayam Sa Vidyam Ata Ashrayema Dattaryadasmin Babahishativas. Tapatrayena vihi, no, tapatrayena vihatana sharma. Atman lavante bhagavanstavangri. Chayam savidyam atashrayema. Dattaryadasmin bhavahishyativas. Tapatrayena vihatana sharma. Atman labante bhagavamstavangri. Chayam savidyam atashayema. Dataryarasmin vavahishajivas. Tapatrayena vikatana sharma. Atman labante bhagavamstavangri. Chayam savidyam atashayema. Okay, anyone? Yeah, I guess I should repeat. Tataya rasmin bhavahisha jivas. Tapatrayena vihitana sharma. Atman labante bhagavamstavangri. Chayam savidyam atahashayema. Okay, let's go. Dataha. O Father. Yat. Because. us men in this Vave material world. Isha, O Lord. Jivaha, the living entities. Tapa, miseries. Trayena, by the three. Abhihataha, always embarrassed. Na, never. Sharma, in happiness. Atman, self. Labhante, to gain. Bhagavan, O personality of Godhead. Tava, your. Angrichayam, shade of your lotus feet. Savidyam, full of knowledge. Ataha, obtain. Ashrayema, shelter. Translation. O Father, O Lord, O personality of Godhead, the living entities in the material world can never have any happiness because they are overwhelmed by the three kinds of miseries. Therefore, they take shelter of the shade of your lotus feet, which are full of knowledge, and we also thus take shelter of them. So you can repeat. O Father, O Lord, O personality of Godhead, the living entities in the material world can never have any happiness because they are overwhelmed by the three kinds of miseries. Therefore, they take shelter of the shade of your lotus feet, which are full of knowledge. And we also thus take shelter of them. So purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The way of devotional service is neither sentimental nor mundane. It is the path of reality by which the living entity can attain the transcendental happiness of being freed from the three kinds of material miseries. Miseries arising from the body and mind, from other living entities, and from natural disturbances. Everyone who is conditioned by material existence, whether he be a man or beast or demigod or bird, must suffer from adhyatmatika, bodily and mental pains, adhibhautika, pains, those offered by other living creatures, and adhidaivata, pains, those due to supernatural disturbances. His happiness is nothing but a hard struggle to get free from the miseries of conditional life. But there is only one way he can be rescued, and that is by accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The argument that unless one has proper knowledge, one cannot be freed from material miseries is undoubtedly true, but because the lotus feet of the Lord are full of transcendental knowledge, acceptance of his lotus feet completes that necessity. We've already discussed this point in the first canto, 1-7. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Chinayati Ashu Vayuragyam Yanam Cha Yadahoitakam. There is no want of knowledge in the devotional service of Vasudeva, the personality of Godhead, that he, the Lord, personally takes charge of dissipating the darkness of ignorance from the heart of a devotee. He confirms this in Bhagavad Gita in the 10th chapter, text 10. Desham Satat Yuktanam Vajatam Pratipurvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Upayanti Te. Empiric philosophical speculation cannot give one relief from the threefold miseries of material existence. Simply to endeavor for knowledge without devoting oneself to the Lord is a waste of time. So, Dataryarasmin Babahisha Jivas Tapatrayena Bhikatana Sharma Atman Labante Bhagavan Stavangri Chayam Savidyam Matashrayim Ba. So, Omagana Timiranda Shah Gadanjana Shlakeha Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So we hear about this topic often, the threefold miseries. And I've heard about it like 10 million times. Miseries from the body and the mind, miseries from the living entities, and miseries from the rain. Anyway, from the material energy in general. So you got these threefold miseries. And then, but you wonder, you know, why the, sorry to use the expression, H-E-L-L, has Krishna subjected us to these threefold miseries if he loves us? That's an interesting question. Because God loves us. And according to many Christian preachers, if you really are God conscious, you'll be rich. You'll have a nice wife or husband, as the case may be. Or two wives or two husbands. But anyway, you have all, this is the gospel that's being preached by many churches today. And also by many Hindus today, too. We're not aloof from that. I mean, we referring to like Indian culture or people from India are not aloof from that. That if you please the Lord, it's a prosperity gospel. Then everything will go well. Look at me with, you know, anyway, not me because I'm a sannyasi. But I'm just making believe that I was a preacher, you know, up there with a trophy wife. Not me, of course. But, you know, on the pulpit, you know, just like blonde hair, blue eyes. I'm sure you've seen that before, isn't it?
Yeah.
On television. And just like, wow. Amazing. And he has a private jet. Just like the other day in the news, there. News means like internet nowadays. There was an article about everybody's private jets. So I was thinking, well, maybe I should have one too. Like I'm a prominent guru in the Hare Krishna movement. So I was looking at all these private jets, and the people who had the best private jets were these preachers. I was thinking, you know, I was in Memphis once and I saw Elvis Presley's private jet. I was impressed, but wasn't so great. And so this is the gospel that's being preached. And also, you know, we have in Hinduism, we have, you know, with Satyanarayan Katha and everything like that, which is very similar. That if you Om Jaya Jagadish Hari, Swami Jaya Jagadish Hari, please give more money to me, Swami Jaya Jagadish, and make my life wonderful. And so this whole philosophy that if you worship God nicely, that everything will go nicely in this world. And on the other hand, we have our statements like, what is it? Yashaham anagrinami hari she tadanam shanai. That, you know, for those who I favor, you know, I take away things that they're attached to. And then we look at these devotees, you know, the example of the Pandavas, great devotees, you know, continual attempts on their lives, gambling matches, an attempt to disrobe their wife, Draupadi. I mean, what's happening here? In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you have Narada Muni going to various devotees, trying to find out who is the best devotee of the Lord. He goes to the Pandavas, Yudhisthira Maharaj, and he says, you're the greatest devotee. Yudhisthira Maharaj says, no. How can we be the greatest devotees? And if someone just hears about us, they become discouraged from devotional service. And then ultimately goes to the gopis, and then Krishna just leaves them after being in Vrindavan for 16 years, and they're the greatest devotees, and the poor gopis are just left bereft, feeling separation for so many years. Oh my God. You know, I hear about this and says, I don't want to be a great devotee. I just want to, you know, eat prasadam and be happy. I remember when I joined the movement years ago, that I sometimes saw devotees who were very austere. And I was told this is what happens when you get advanced in devotional service. You don't eat so much. You don't eat three or four times a day. You don't eat so many sweet bowls anymore. You don't stuff your mouth with pakoras. And I was thinking, I don't want to ever get advanced in devotional service. Take off my glasses. He's like, this is misery. So, you know, what's happening? Why does Krishna do this to his devotees? Why does Krishna do this to everybody? The threefold miseries. Well, let me explain something about these threefold miseries. And let me explain something about happiness. Happiness is simply the cessation of the miseries for some time, because we have these big needs in this world. You know, like hunger. Like right now, I'm thinking, because it's past my normal breakfast time, I'm thinking, I'm hungry. And, you know, if I put the microphone to my stomach, it would give a class, too. This particular... because it wouldn't be intelligible. So, you know, you have this hunger, and I'm just thinking, when can I enjoy by eating? So then I'll go and eat, and then I'm not thinking of enjoying by eating anymore. You know, unless I have some eating disorder, like bulimia. It's interesting, in ancient Rome, what they used to do is just stuff themselves all day long and to make themselves regurgitate and keep putting food in their mouth. What a life. So the enjoyment, even the enjoyment is based upon the cessation of the suffering. You know, just like this morning it was cold, put on my coat. Oh, this is so nice. I'm feeling all comfy. Or last night, you know, it was a little cold. It was all right. You know, I have a heater, but I don't like turning the heater on because it makes a noise. So I just pull the cover over my head and go, oh, this is so scrunchy, you know. And then we all have that experience. Because we're trying to escape from the miseries. And that's our happiness. Or even when someone falls in love, it's exactly the same thing. You know, it's just miserable. Or Lord Chaitanya gave that example too, because he didn't give the same examples I gave, but he gave the example of the dunking stool. You know, where you put someone on, that was the way they used to punish people in America and in India. They would put people underwater for about 3 or 4 minutes until they were dead, almost dead, not quite dead. Bring them up, and they'd go, try that sometime. Breathing will be the most pleasurable experience you've ever had. That's Lord Chaitanya's example. It's just like, wow. I remember, when I was in summer camp many years ago, we'd have this competition who could stay underwater the longest at summer camp. And then when I got out, you know, I think I did 3 minutes. Yeah. It was before COVID. So anyway, I did 3 minutes. I came up and I was like, wow, great, isn't it? Or, you know, or like some people have the impulses to go to the beach. You know, I gotta go to the beach. You know, it's just driving me crazy. You gotta go to the beach, and they go to the beach. Anyway, or it's cold out, they fly to the Bahamas. I mean, right now, the spring vacation, everybody flew to Miami. Not everybody. A lot of people flew to Miami just to get away from the cold during the university vacation, and they violated all the norms, and they're getting arrested, getting sprayed by the police with what is that, pepper pellets? Yeah, I know. So it's kind of funny, but you know, I'm not criticizing the police or criticizing the people who went there. It's just like, that's material world. You got it. That's the happiness. And so you got the distress, and then you get the happiness to negate the distress. So the happiness is actually the negation of the distress. It's not a positive thing. So why is there so much distress? I mean, two reasons. One is that Krishna arranges it so we will seek real happiness. Krishna wants us to be happy. You know, Krishna doesn't want us just like fooling around here, because even if, let's say Krishna were to take away all the threefold miseries, like everyone was attractive and beautiful, like the heavenly planets. Nobody got sick with the heavenly planets. Then there still wouldn't be happiness. It would just be dull. Like even in the heavenly planets, let's take Indra for example. He's a good guy. So he's in the heavenly planets. He has everything. Do, 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 do. You think, you know, He's got it made. Yet he sees sometimes a girl on the earthly planets, like Ahalya. You know the story of Ahalya? Gautama Rishi's wife. And he comes down, he risks himself, and, you know, has to get an organ transplant as a result of it. You know, you think, you know, he got everything. There are miseries because you're thinking the demons are going to take over the heavenly planets. But really, it's not like here. There's no old age. There's no crying babies there. As soon as someone is born there, boop, full adult. Pretty cool, isn't it? No diapers, no nothing. So, anyway, sorry, mothers. So, but still, they're not satisfied. What is that statement? Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kam Sakale Asanta. Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Ataiva Asanta. That if one wants something in this world, and even if he gets it, he's not going to be peaceful. Even if he wants liberation, you know, impersonal liberation, doesn't make him peaceful or happy. Or powers. You know, Siddhi, a yogic person who has powers. I mean, just look at Durvasa Muni. I mean, he has a great personality, devotee, and everything like that. But he's called Durvasa because he has a bad temper. He has all these mystic powers. He can even fly to Vaikuntha, right? And yet, he gets angry at the drop of a hat. You know, if someone drinks a little water when he comes to their house, while they're taking a bath, he gets angry. Can you imagine? You know, I go to visit someone's house, and while I'm at the house, you know, can I take a shower before prasadam first? And they say, okay. So I go take a shower, and while I'm taking a shower, they drink a little water. And I get angry with them, and I curse them. And I try to kill them. That's pretty far out, isn't it? We wouldn't have many invitations after that one. Can you imagine, you know, don't invite Maharaj to your house. You know, he's a real dangerous sannyasi. So Durvasa Muni, he did that. He cursed, not only cursed, he created a demon to kill Maharaj Ambarish, right? And he had so much power, he could go to see Vishnu. And he went to see Vishnu, and Vishnu said, there's nothing I can do about it. You made a mistake, buddy. And then you have to go after a year apologize to Maharaj Ambarish. And they became good friends after that point. So the point is, even if you have all that, you're not going to be happy. Because there's always something lacking. There's the lack. Like if you're hungry, you're hungry. You're not going to be happy. I mean, people who are hungry are not happy. That's why you don't want to talk to someone before they eat, like me. So that's why I'm so preaching so heavy, because I'm thinking about eating. But anyway, so they're not happy. And when you feed them, they're happy. Oh, hello, Maharaj. Oh, blessings, blessings, blessings. Before they eat, it's, get the hell out of my way. So anyway, so the happiness, the lack we're feeling, the hunger we're feeling is for Krishna. That's really important. So Krishna doesn't want to make us super comfortable, like in the heavenly planets, you know, people who just Sakama devotees, just generally Sakama devotees. If everything was nice, Prabhupada said, easy life and Krishna consciousness don't go well together. You got to have an impetus. You got to have a challenge like that to be Krishna conscious. So anyway, so that's one reason why there's the threefold miseries. And another point is that actually there are no threefold miseries, because it's only due to attachment. Like the Buddhists say, misery, the material world is miserable, we agree. Misery is caused by attachment. And that's what we say too. When you're attached to something, it causes you misery. If your car gets smashed, I'm not miserable. You are. Because you're attached to it, even though you are not your car. Right? So it's your attachment. You know, just like we hear about people suffering in other parts of the world. Of course, we should feel compassion. But it's not the same as when someone, one of our family members suffers. You know, it's completely different. It's because of attachment. And then, you know, because it's closer to us. Of course, if one's a devotee, it is the same. I mean, if one is an advanced devotee, then there's no distinction between family members and others. But that takes a lot of Krishna consciousness. But, so in other words, you give up the attachment, as the Buddhists say. The Buddhists don't have everything wrong. I mean, Buddha didn't have anything wrong. It's just the Buddhists have things wrong. So, like Lord Buddha says, you give up the attachment, and there's no suffering. That's simple. It's not that simple. Because the way the Buddhists generally prescribe giving up the suffering is through the Eightfold Path, but they don't talk about connecting with Krishna. So we can't give up the suffering. We can't get detached until we are attached to something else. Isn't it? Just like sometimes you see, like a child is hungry. The body is hungry, whatever. Body is hungry. Anyway, the child is hungry or whatever. You know, the stomach is grumbling. But the child is playing a video game. And he's immersed in a completely different world. That's what video games are. They're like simulations. I've seen that so many times. But not myself. I don't play video games. But I've gone to people's houses. You know, and the young boys, generally it's the boys. I'm sure some girls play video games. But generally it's the boys. They really get into these shoot 'em up, kill 'em. Type of things, and then now that I have the goggles they put on, and they just and people forget about their hunger. And actually, there's some instances of people, this is in Japan, of people playing video games in these video arcades or whatever, you know, not arcades, but anyway, internet cafes, and the kid dies. The kid dies because he's forgotten to eat or sleep or anything like that. Also in Las Vegas, too, when someone's using the one-armed bandit, sometimes they go, you know, the lady just keels over and dies. Because you're absorbed. So in other words, they're not noticing some material miseries, which is hunger, because of their absorption. And so if we're absorbed in Krishna. And that's what it means to be transcendental. Being transcendental doesn't mean it's like taking Novocaine or something. You know, you go to the dentist, it gives you some Novocaine and it pulls out your teeth and says, oh, you're really transcendental. You didn't experience any pain. Or just like I had a hernia operation and I didn't feel any pain. So I was transcendental. No, I was unconscious. There's a difference between being unconscious. So a devotee, he's aware of what's happening with the body, with other living entities, with the material energy. But because he's absorbed in a loving mood, like someone in a loving mood, you know, lusty mood in this world, forgets about everything else. But because he's absorbed in a loving mood, and he has an internal life, a pure devotee, has an internal life that's going on, like exchanging pastimes with Krishna and rasa, dabbav with Krishna and emotions, then what's happening here is like a video game, you know, that he's playing a little bit to please Krishna. A pure devotee is playing this video game with some of the characters in this world, trying to help them. You know, that's also important. His video game is important. But he understands it's a simulation. He understands that's not his real world. He understands his real world is with Krishna. So that's a pure devotee. He can be in both worlds simultaneously. And that's why it's stated that no one should think that they can understand what's happening in the consciousness of a pure devotee. when sees a pure devotee, you know, like you see a pure devotee, like Prabhupada, getting angry or eating or whatever. I mean, you don't know what's going on in his consciousness, but we're projecting. You know that whole concept of Atmavat Manyate Jagat. We project that if I was in his shoes, I would be feeling this. That's simply a projection. You know, everybody's like me, Atmavat Manyate Jagat. But it's not like that. There's something else going on, very, very wonderful, that we are not privy to. And I can say that with Prabhupada, is just we are not privy to. I remember sitting behind Prabhupada as he was playing cartels and seeing tears coming out of Prabhupada's eyes. You know, when I play cartels, I don't cry. I just think, when is prasadam? I have to give class, and this is how I pay for prasadam. My job. You know, anyway. But Prabhupada, you know, so we really can't understand who Prabhupada is, what he was thinking of. It's just, but we can take shelter of him and try to serve him. So, anyway, so that's all I'd like to talk about today. Threefold miseries, which is mentioned here. And we certainly experience these threefold miseries. And pure devotees, like Queen Kunti, pray for more of them. She says, tacha, Jagat Guru. Again and again, let them happen. Prabhupada was asked, should we pray for more of them? And Prabhupada said, no. Material world's miserable enough as it is. Don't go praying for more miseries. You know, Krishna will arrange things to detach us from this world. Krishna knows what's good for us. He'll give us what we need. Okay, any questions or comments? Yes. That's an interesting question. Well, there is a solution. Should we cry for a solution? Well, give me an example of a misery right now, because I want to be specific. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so to fulfill Prabhupada's desires is a positive thing. I mean, and it's a spiritual misery to feel that one is not doing what Prabhupada wants. I mean, that's not a spiritual misery we should want. I mean, the feelings of separation, feelings of not having done anything. Like we have Madhavendra Puri, when he was leaving the planet, he was crying out, you know, I've not reached Mathura, I've not reached Vrindavan. So, you know, I actually think like that, you know, what have I done for Prabhupada? You know? So that sort of misery is to be welcome. But that sort of, it's sort of a spiritual ecstasy too. It's not like the reason we need to make farms is because I'm hungry and I need some more vegetables to eat. You know, but you know, so we should be connecting things with Krishna, like when we're growing the garden here, which is really nice. I saw the garden yesterday. I was really impressed. So many greens. I was ready to go grazing. I was ready to get into my four, you know, four, oh, fours and just like a cow. But anyway, so it was such a beautiful garden. So when you're doing the garden, you could be thinking that this is pleasing to Prabhupada and carrying out Prabhupada's mission. And, you know, so I think if we connect any of these things with Krishna and with Prabhupada and our mission, then it becomes a source of ecstasy. Even the misery, you know, the lack of fulfillment of Prabhupada's desire, you know, we should meditate on that. And I think that's great. That's great. And now, as far as personal miseries, that's an interesting point. That let's say, a headache. I don't. But let's say if I have a headache, should I pray to Krishna for getting rid of the headache? Yes and no. So, because I can pray, Krishna, I want to serve you. Can you give me more facility for serving you? and this headache is impeding my service to you. But not, you know, let me get rid of the headache so I can watch some more Bollywood movies tonight. I mean, you have to, it has to be, the motivation has to be for Krishna. And then we can pray for it. Or we pray for other people too. You know, all the time we're praying for other people's spiritual benefit, other people's health. You know, I heard that, you know, Jaya Patakumar is having some health challenge right now, so I'm praying for him. So I'm sure some of you heard about that. You know, so pray, you know, so pray for your God brothers, pray for the other devotees, pray for the world. You know, isn't it? You pray for the world. You know, wow. Let people become Krishna conscious, you know. Like, and if you're like Vasudeva Dutt, then you pray, please let me go to hell, let everybody else go back to Godhead. But I'm not going to do that. Wait, please let me go back to Godhead. No, I won't pray that everyone else should go to hell. No, we pray, let me be instrumental in serving you, Krishna. Let me preach. So certainly, you know, certain times that we can pray for relief of certain miseries so we can serve Krishna more. But Prabhupada indicated when he was getting ready to leave this world, he said, if you want to pray, you pray, my dear Lord Krishna, if you so desire, please cure Prabhupada. So it always has to be, I think you really have to add that caveat, right? That, you know, if you so desire, not that Krishna, I'm going to make you do it. Actually, there was an interesting story that was just told in New Orleans that Prabhupada, this is really interesting, this devotee Pran Govinda told me, and actually it's confirmed, it's a Prabhupada story, that Prabhupada had his friend was Mr. Sethi in Bombay. Some of you may have heard about it. And Mr. Sethi was on his deathbed. This is a really interesting story. Mr. Sethi was on his deathbed, and Prabhupada had a program, but Prabhupada said, cancel the program, I'll go to see Mr. Sethi, you know, before he passed away. So Prabhupada goes to see Mr. Sethi, and he says to Mr. Sethi, you're not going to die. You're supposed to bring me prasadam tomorrow. So Mr. Sethi is his last breath. And then Prabhupada, this is such an interesting story. Maybe you heard this story before. Prabhupada closes his eyes. And then they leave after a few minutes. And then Prabhupada finally says when he's leaving, okay, we'll see you for prasadam tomorrow. The devotees are just like, what? What's happening? And then they ask Prabhupada, you know, what were you thinking of when you closed your eyes? I mean, you know, you asked Mr. Sethi to come for prasadam, he's on his deathbed. And Prabhupada said, I was having an argument with Krishna. And Prabhupada said, and I won. You know, Prabhupada won the argument. And then Mr. Sethi came the next day. Bring Prabhupada prasadam. That's an amazing story. You can ask Giriraj Maharaj about it. But that's an amazing story. So here's what's happening with the pure devotee. All of us are down here ground level. You know, sometimes we fly our quadcopter up a little high. But we're down here at ground level. We don't understand what's happening up there. I mean, it's really amazing. So, any other questions? Yeah. Yeah, tell me about it. Yeah. Jai.
So, what should be the initial reaction to decide on the opposite spectrum, and what is the key to equal choice?
That's a pretty high level of devotional service to be equal poised. But the key, the key is to be so much in love with Krishna and Krishna's pure devotees that really what gives one happiness is the loving exchange or to please them. And so, in other words, it's bringing your consciousness to the level of what's happening at this ground level is not that important. Or as Prabhupada said, when you go up in an airplane, then the things on the ground become very unimportant. And I'll give you a personal example of that. When I was young, we used to fly an airplane, not a quadcopter, you know, real airplane. And so sometimes my mother was really angry with me and giving me a lot of the threefold miseries. So we go up in the airplane and my mother shrunk. You know, that was that movie, you know, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids or something like that. So you want to shrink. You know, she could be on the ground waving her fist. You know, just who cares if a little ant is on the ground waving their fist? So it's not, you can't force yourself to be equal poise. I mean, it's not an artificial thing that, because naturally we become happy with good things and sad with bad things. And I don't think we can change that. But as the consciousness get, then you know, if you're really in love with Krishna, but that's a very high stage. So right now, be happy and be in touch with your emotions right now. I mean, that's the best answer I can give. I mean, and be steady. Another point is we tolerate. Of course, let's take the verse from the Nectar of Instruction. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, mudra pasha vegam. That one tolerates these things. In other words, you feel them. It's cold. It's like this morning I woke up. Cold. I'm miserable. I wasn't that bad. But anyway, and then I tolerated. You know, it's like bite the bullet. Like what they used to do when someone had a bullet in them, they were given another bullet to bite. And they would operate without anesthesia. That's where the expression bite the bullet comes from. That someone would have like a bullet in their leg and then just, that's the only way to deal with that sort of pain, you know, if you have that. So sometimes you just have to bite the bullet and be attached and just go on with one's duty. Tolerate. You know, that's the first lesson in the Gita. Is tamsa tikshasha bharata, you know, tolerate happiness and distress. It doesn't mean that you don't feel happiness and distress. It's just you just go on and do what you're supposed to do in spite of it. You know, I'm giving class and I'm hungry. Sometimes you get so hungry, you walk through the woods and you want to chew on the leaves. That's a sign of health. But Shaivaru, you have a question? Yeah. I know. Yeah, with all the viruses. Yogi. Yeah. All it takes is one person having a kirtan. Because if I had the virus and I took off my mask, which I won't do, and I had loud kirtan, it would be all over the room. I mean, it's really hard. It's really hard to avoid. I think ultimately everyone is going to get exposed to it. I think ultimately everyone in America, hopefully, you know, people will have their immune system enhanced. You know what? One thing I saw, because I had it in the beginning, was that I usually take a lot of vitamin D, get a lot of sunshine. I'm taking like 2 or 3 oranges a day. So, you know, minimal effects. I think a lot of the health problems in America are due to people having improper diets and lifestyle. And that's why these Of course, we know, you know, anyway, I don't want to get into the source of the virus, but people are very unhealthy. I mean, America, I mean, in India, this is interesting. In India, people aren't taking any precautions, and the level of the virus is very low because people are not, I mean, excuse me, people are not that much overweight in India. People are, you know, they work harder like that, and there's more sun, too. So the level of the virus is much lower in spite of practically no precautions being taken in India. So there's something to be said about healthy lifestyle. They will prevent you because there are a lot of viruses, diseases, and lifestyle diseases that we have to take. I mean, that's one of the things that I've stressed with the devotees because I've seen so many devotees succumb to what we call lifestyle diseases, which is, I'm not talking about viruses or anything like that, you know, lifestyle diseases that have to do with, you know, like cancer, things like that. I had one of my godbrothers who recently passed away, and he had cancer. And several years ago, I said, I don't think you should be eating so many sweets. And he stopped for a month, but then after that, I mean, it's common knowledge. I mean, I'm not talking against sweets. I'm not, otherwise, I'll get thrown out of the temple here. But I have to be politically correct. But it's common knowledge that when one eats a lot of sweets and, you know, fatty, like condensed milk and sweet rice and that, like that, if one has cancer, you know, it feeds on it. So it's common knowledge. I mean, but he wouldn't stop, so he passed away. So we have to learn how to control our senses, and then we'll be healthy. I mean, Prabhupada, when you say Prabhupada eating sweets, he didn't eat a lot of sweets like devotees do. He would take one bite. You know, Prabhupada was very moderate in his lifestyle. Still, he had diabetes, but he was very moderate in his lifestyle. And it's important for us to do things like get sun and other things, and that way, when diseases come around, we're more likely to be protected or have a stronger immune system. Another interesting thing about, you got me started with health stuff. Anyway, so, and I'm not telling people what to do, is that nowadays, people are brought up in a very sterile environment in the cities. So their immune system really hasn't even kicked into gear. You probably heard about this, Bhushaya, too, right? So, you know, as soon as they get some virus or bacteria or something like that, the immune system is just waking up for the first time in their lives. You know, because it's understood when people play with dirt, not play with dirt, do gardening. So this is, you know, when people are out there gardening, they not only get, the immune system gets enhanced, but also they get all these different vitamins from getting their hands in the soil, which is interesting, you know, because the bacteria in the soil creates a lot of these vitamins. You get vitamin B12 that way too, working in the soil. And from being outside, you get vitamin D, you know, in the sun. So a lot of this has to do with people with very unhealthy lifestyles too. So, you know, there's different factors here in disease. It's not just like you blame the poor innocent virus. The virus is just trying to survive like the rest of us. It's interesting. But this virus is an RNA virus, which is interesting. So the question is, theologically, is it a living entity or not? That's an interesting question, which I don't have an answer for. But if you look at cellular biology, you'll see within each cell there's so many entities. There's this interesting thing, some of you have heard me talk about this before, in the cell that transports things from one part of the cell to another. It's called the kinesin. Anyone's heard that? You have? Wow, you're educated. And he has legs, and he walks inside the cell. It's an entity called the kinesin. You know, really, you heard about that. Well, you got an educated person here. So he walks inside the cell, transporting garbage or other things from one part of the cell to another. And it's just like, is that a soul? I guess he has all the qualities of a soul, because if he runs into it some a block, he learns how to go around it. So life is so amazing. I mean, Krishna has created things in such an amazing fashion. There is no way that this could have evolved by chance. No way. I mean, the more you study science, which is actually my addiction, the more you study science, the more you become convinced that there is God. Like the computer. I'm more I'm convinced that, you know, there's Microsoft. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, these things are beyond my knowledge. You know, what's happening there inside the cell? And there's all these machines inside the cell that are producing ATP, the powerhouse of the cell. It's just, wow. Krishna is so amazing what he's done. I mean, it's just like, wow, I can't believe him. He's unlimited. Okay. Uh-oh, more questions. Yeah, Veda. Yeah. Suffering is happiness. If one is doing something out of love, that's not suffering. For example, let's say you have a baby. Here's another sannyas example. And the baby's diapers have to be changed. So if you, somehow or other, if you convince me to do it, I don't know how you do it. You really have to give a big donation. So if you convince me to do it, I would be suffering like hell. But the mother is doing it. It's a sacrifice, but she's not suffering. You know, it's a sacrifice, you know. I mean, she loves to do it, I guess. Maybe. Hopefully. So, I won't get into that other subject matter, but, you know, we sacrifice, you know, a genuine sacrifice in Krishna consciousness is done out of love. Or to accomplish something in this world. You know, I may sacrifice some of my time to graduate from the university, right? You know, I'd much rather, you know, we have a student here, so she'd much rather be in the beach. But, you know, there's going to the university, so you sacrifice 2 or 3 years, but because you have a higher goal, that's a sacrifice. You know, sacrifice is only there when you have a higher goal. And the more you concentrate on the higher goal, the sacrifice will not be suffering. Does that make sense? The more you think about, why am I doing what I'm doing? Like we have the sacrifice of chanting Hare Krishna, Yajnaya Sankirtana, Prayat, Yajantihi Sumedasa. That if you think I have to chant, I'm sacrificing my time to chant, then you may be a little miserable. But if you're thinking I'm chanting because I want to please Krishna and I want to connect with Krishna, then the sacrifice becomes ecstatic. So sacrifices can be either happy or sad, depending on your motivation, why you're doing that sacrifice. Yeah, I think we have to. Oh, all right, one more question in the back.
The
Oh, good. Oh, very nice. That's fantastic news. In plastic.
There's a little window where you can count the money from the and you see the change. Because the driver has the creative part of the taxi. So you don't have contact with him. Then you turn it off. You can be one if you can be the same. But when I'm a shop, you don't enter. Not only if you don't have that, but they have it on Chinese thermometers.
It's interesting. That's good. Yeah, so different cultures, different places, people act differently. Like in Japan, people wore masks before the virus. And, you know, you'll find even after this whole pandemic is over, people are going to be wearing masks. It's going to be part of the culture, I think. It's good. I mean, it's good. It makes people more attractive. Really can't see how ugly someone is. It's like everybody's wearing a burqa. Yeah, I mean, it's I mean, like, every, you know, every woman, all you see their eyes, and you don't see how ugly they are underneath, you know, so that's a joke. And it, you know, the men, you don't see their, you know, I love it because you don't see the wrinkles or anything. I'm just going to continue doing it, you know, just, and you don't have to shave that often. It's great. Anyway, that's just a joke. Okay, on that happy note, we should end class. All